Love and marriage, love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage. This,
well, it's that time of the week, friends. 7:13 now. Joe and Cindy Farini join us live to talk about strengthening your marriage. Thanks for coming back on the show, you two.
Hey, good morning.
Now, the Farinis have a lot of little phrases that I've become jealous of. The first one, which we're not going to talk about, is what Cindy would always look at Kathleen and say, is this fun or is this foolish?
And every time I'd walk out the door, they'd go, as unto the Lord.
Yes,
yes, ma'am.
Did you
yes,
make
sir.
Up the fun or foolish thing, Cindy? Did you make that up or did you learn
I
it somewhere?
I did. I will take credit for that one, but I have to tell you that the feeling to feeling, fact to fact, we learned from someone that's on our speaker team from Family Life. So that's really kind of changed our life in terms of how we communicate. But yes, I will take credit for the first one.
And before we move on to the second one, I have to ask this too. Now, if you're forced to ask the question, is this fun or is this foolish? Am I correct that that's your secret way of saying this is foolish?
Absolutely.
If you have to ask, I mean, you know.
But let me tell you what, I've had to ask myself that question a few times too. So I think it's good advice for all of us.
Who did you ask more that question, Kathleen or Christina?
I think she invented it.
We even have to ask.
No, I don't. I just wanted you to call her out.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that I helped her invent that one. So,
well, the other phrase that I love so much that I've learned a lot from Kathleen, which she stole from you and you stole from someone else, is the idea of feeling for feeling and fact for fact, or emotion for emotion, fact for fact. Can you explain what that means?
Yes. You know, basically, just when we respond to someone, if we respond to them in the way that they have given us that communication, it's just so much better. If someone comes to us emotionally and share something with us, and we just give them a list of, here, figure it out like this, 1, 2, 3. We're giving them facts, and it just kind of dismisses what they've just said. And you can put that the other way around as well. So it's just really, I mean, when we just spoke this past weekend in Houston, and, you know, people come up to us and say, oh, my goodness, like, that is just amazing. That's going to just change our life and how we talk to each other. And I thought, you know, that is true. That's what happened with us, too. I think that's a very basic principle, mm-hmm. and it works in marriage. It works with parents and children. It works at the workplace, ministry, works every place.
But there are a handful of limits, I think, to that phrase, not for the one who speaks it, but for the one you're talking to. And one of them would be this person who says, you can't tell me how to feel or how I feel.
Right.
What do you do when exactly. someone pulls out that card?
Well, I think in all situations, we need to be what we call empathic listeners. We need to be really trying to be in tune, do our best to try to understand their position. But we also need to understand as the listener that sometimes we just are never going to agree about what they're saying. And, you know, there is a limit to what we can agree to. But, you know, we want to make sure that they are expressing themselves as best as they can. And we need to be our best listening cap on there. And so that we can really try to relate to what they're saying. But there are going to be times where it's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I would just want to add to that, too, that, you know, as we listen to someone else and as they express something, you know, to tell them if we say you can't feel that way, or they say to us, you can't tell me how to feel, it's not exactly the same, but a little bit the same. You know, what we're basically doing is dismissing what they're sharing with us. And I kind of look at feelings a little bit like pain. You know, when you're in pain, you've hurt yourself, your back goes out. You know, you are the only one who knows how much pain you're in. And so when you're sharing a feeling, you're the only one who really knows exactly how you're feeling. Mm-hmm. And so I would probably want to tell the person who's expressing that feeling, is there a way that you can give an example to the person who's either not believing you or not wanting you to feel that way? You know, is there a way that you can express your feelings so that they would understand? Joe, did you want to add?
Yeah, I think, you know, a good phrase to keep in mind when we're in a situation like this is that we want to be able to honor each other and value what each other is saying and not disregard one another. I can't think of anything more discouraging or disappointing than to be disregarded or, you know, not respected by what we're trying to say. And so I think it's really important that we be courteous in all these situations. But, you know, there are just going to be some times where we will never fully understand why some people believe a certain way or because there's a history there that we will just never possibly understand everything they're trying to what they're feeling to us. And so there comes a point where at some level we just have to just say, I'm really sorry that you feel that way. How can I be praying for you? And go on. But we just don't want to take a position of just throwing them to the curb and disregarding what they're saying.
Yeah, and I think part of what my approach is with this is always saying, just, I'm so sorry, and listening, you know, rather than, I understand. There's a lot of things I don't understand because I haven't been through them. And even saying, like, there have been times where friends of mine have said, you know, how they feel about something, if something's going on in their life. And I've said, I'm sorry, I really don't understand what you're going through, but I'm here for you. And I think that almost is more encouraging, because you can realize, they can realize that you're just listening and you're not trying to one up or be better than, not better, but, oh, well, one time this happened to me and it was 100 times worse than, so be grateful for what you're going through.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I think that private, Kathleen, that's so wise of you. I think that's one of the worst things we can do in these situations, is always to try to one up each other. You know, well, you feel that way, but I'll tell you what, I really feel this way when I get like that. I mean, good grief. This is not a competition thing going on here. We're trying to understand each other here. But I agree with that. That's so wise, Kathleen. That's a good thing to do.
Now, Joe, not that, again, we would know anyone that would be like this, but what do you do with the person who is basically emotional all the time and won't even look at the facts?
That's a tough situation, Brian. I'll just give you that one right now. Yeah. Again, you have to kind of take each circumstance, each incident as it comes. But, you know, a scripture verse, I think, that comes to my mind, as soon as you ask that question and you immediately put you and me on one side and the ladies on the other side, which is always a dangerous thing to do, of course. But a scripture verse that came to my mind immediately was 1 Peter 3:7. Where it says, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel. Now, you know, that can be sometimes concerning and a little troubling for some women, but if you take that scripture verse as it's literally written, what they're talking about there is that weaker vessel is like, you know, we're to be treating our wives as fine china, you know, not as tin plates. Weaker vessel doesn't mean they're less in value. It just means that they're actually in greater value. And so we need to be honoring them in everything that's being said to them. And, yeah, I mean, there are going to be times that we just don't understand what they're saying. Okay, let's be realistic on that.
I don't know what you're talking about, Joe. Just kidding. I do.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, trying to understand the mind of a woman is just, that's a lifetime process there. And
it's for us, too. So quit your whining.
Exactly right. And that's why building oneness is a lifetime process. It takes time to do this thing and do it well. And that's where the dependence on the Holy Spirit is so important for this one. You know, trying to do these things in our own efforts is just, that's a lose-lose situation in that one. So we need to lean heavily on the guidance from the Holy Spirit on this one.
But now, Cindy, there's actually another aspect of this we haven't covered yet that you have to tackle, and it's, what do you do with a person whose feeling about something is just plain wrong? Like they're hurt and they shouldn't be, or whatever it is, they're off in their response.
Well, you know, since we're talking about the topic of marriage, I think that is the beauty of having a spouse, that we can, together, we can work through those things. And, you know, even though sometimes Joe will say something to me in sort of what you've just said, like to say, Cindy, you know, you're not thinking about this in the right way, even though I might not really receive that at first, and because I don't want to, or because I'm not really getting it, I'm really appreciative that I have him to be able to, you know, sort of be that level head when I'm not. And that's how I think we should really look at our marriages. You know, our spouse to be able to help us, to correct us. And I always say, when we're speaking for family life, you know, when we marry, our spouse helps smooth off the rough edges. And then when we have children, they just chop off whatever's left. You know? but I really think that that's the beauty of marriage. And so we need to be listening and being open. I like to tell the women, you know, is this a possibility that maybe your husband is the Holy Spirit is using your husband to teach you something. And I think it's important to keep that in mind. You know, when you're in the midst of a disagreement, that's not easy to do. But as you reflect on things and you start to realize, you know, I might not be thinking the right way about this. And then that's your opportunity to come together and say, I'm sorry, please forgive me. And thanks for helping teach me, because that's how we grow.
Yeah, and of course, that goes both ways. You know, Matt.
Hello?
Hello? Oh, you're cutting out a little bit here.
Okay. Sorry.
That's
well,
okay.
I think what we're saying here is that that goes both ways. And that for us as men, we need to recognize that God has positioned our wives in a very important role in our lives as well to shape us to become the person that we need to become.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that. Again, Joe and Cindy Farini, our guests weekly this half hour in My Marriage Matters, a chance for you to strengthen your marriage as unto the Lord. And you guys, if folks want to get connected to you, what's the best way to do that?
Well, either joefarini.com or cindyfarini.com. There's a way to email us through our website. Or if you want to go to My Marriage Matters, we'd love for people to come on Facebook there, like us, hear from us daily, Monday through Friday at 9 o'clock in the morning. We usually post something. And the assignment for this week for each one of us would really be to kind of look for the history behind those feelings and see if you can learn something new about your spouse.
Great stuff, you two. Thanks again for your time this week. Really appreciate it.
All right. Well, thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thanks, you too.